Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Hare. Krishna Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama. ハレラマ、ハレラマ、ラマラマ。Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.Hare Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama
Krishna is now in the arena of Kamsa. All of Mathura, all the residents are sitting in the ranks of that wrestling arena. And also the different people from the little villages around Mathura,who had gotten news that Krishna would come to Mathura, are there on the different seats. It's a huge stadium which has a very great capacity. Remember, please, how Krishna had entered. He came through one little doorAt the entrance, at the ground, and as he was playfully and very innocently looking, going into the center of the arena, his effulgence had swept through the people and had mesmerized them so that they alldescribe to each other what they saw. And according to their different relationships with Krishna, they saw a different Krishna. We had yesterday made an exercise where you yourself were in some other incarnation situated in thestadium, and you saw Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has expressed that the sweetness of Krishna's personality is just like an ocean of nectar. Now imagineThat over this ocean of Krishna's transcendent body, the moon rises. Then you have an idea how beautiful, Krishna looks, because his face is exactly like the moon looming over the beauty of his other limbs. But now imagine it's a full moon, and the shine and the rays of the full moon are dancing over the waves. You sit like a thirsty man on the bank of that ocean, and you feel how there's this beautiful ocean before you. The moon has risen, and the rays of the moon are now dancing towards you. Then you know what is Krishna's beauty. Krishna is like the ocean. His face is like the moon, and his smile are like the moon rays which dance towards his devotee. Bilvamangala Thakur has composed a beautiful verse about the effect of seeing Krishna. Maduram maduram vapuasya vibhur maduram maduram vadanam maduram madugandhimito smitametadaho maduram 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 maduram. Aho! The transcendental body of Krishna is very sweet, and his face is even sweeter than his body. But his soft smile, which has the fragrance of honey, is sweeter still. When Krishna smiles and his lips are parting a little bit, a beautiful scent emits from the mouth and spreads all over. It has the fragrance of honey. This is the description. Now, all the devotees of Krishna saw him like this. An ocean of beauty, which was become more beautiful by the face, and even more beautiful by the smile. But Chanura and Mushtika, who were hand-picked murderers, instructed carefully in the school of brutality to attack Krishna and try to kill him. Chanura and Mushtika saw him differently. Chanura, understanding that the arena was getting out of control because everyone bathed in the beauty of Krishna, and seeing that Kamsa was becoming very agitated because of that, stopped everything and said, O Nanda Kumar, listen. O Rama, everyone is well aware how strong you are. One's talents and artistic skills should be presented for the pleasure of the king, who will offer good fortune to those who do so. Our king wants to see your wrestling skills. I challenge you, Krishna, and Mushtika will fight with Balaram. In a very sweet voice, Krishna responded, a voice which irritated Chanura, because when Chanura looked at Krishna and Balaram, he saw they were as strong as mountains and thunderbolts. So when Krishna spoke, he spoke very sweetly. We are simple forest dwellers, the subjects of King Kamsa. Yes, we will please him. But let us fight with the boys our age. That is more befitting. To wrestle with you would be inappropriate, because you are extremely powerful it would be like frogs fighting with elephants. Very sweet. But Shanura responded, "You are not a child, not even a young man. You are the best of the strong. Just now you have killed Kuvalayapida, who has the combined strength of 10,000 elephants." My dear devotees, Krishna, up till that moment, had no desire to fight with Chanura. But when he saw that Chanura was as determined to fight with him as a small insect is determined to fly into a big fire, Krishna made up his mind. Chanura Mushtika went into a roped-in area, the actual akara or wrestling place, which was decorated with soft, fine sand, and Mushtika followed him. There they proudly began to show their muscles. Krishna followed a little bit behind and went into the roped-in place. Then, in order to start the fight, they locked their palms over their head and pressed each other to see their relative strength. That's done before a good wrestling match, in case you don't know. We learned it in the Brahmachari ashram also. And then they began to fight. But as they fought, it became apparent that this was not a wrestling match. Chanura Mushtika followed their demoniac master's command. To fight with unfair means by trying to always push into the soft or vulnerable spots. Everyone saw it, but no one dared to say anything. Everyone was glued to the scene, silent in fear, because Kamsa was there and watched the whole thing. And they didn't want to protest against Kamsa. Only the ladies of Mathura shouted, "Adharma! Adharma!" See how unequal the wrestlers are matched. Look at these two professional wrestlers who have limbs as strong as lightning bolts and bodies resembling mighty mountains. And then look at these two young, immature boys with exceedingly tender limbs. If this is not immediately stopped, everybody in the assembly will have to take part in the reaction to this sinful spectacle. My dear devotees, when you see that something is not right, but you remain silent, Niti Shastra tells us that you become implicated in the sin which is not perpetuated by you. No, the sin which you watch doing others. An example is the gambling match where Draupadi was stripped naked. An attempt was made to disrobe her. And no one said anything. Not even Bhishma. Krishna had commanded, whoever was there in the assembly while Draupadi was insulted will be brought to me on the battlefield, and he will be exterminated. people in the Mahabharata times had sat there to please Duryodhana, who looked around and to see who was on his side. Similarly, the people of Mathura were too afraid to speak out because they wanted to please King Kamsa. They had no other choice because he would kill everyone whom he suspected to be not on his side. Only the ladies, they talked. Look at Krishna's lotus face. It is covered with the drops of perspiration and resembles a lotus covered with dew. And then they pointed with their fingers to Balaram. But look at the face of Lord Balaram. His eyes are copper red from his anger towards Mushtika. And his beauty is enhanced by his laughter and his absorption in the fight. Jiva Goswami says, Krishna remains extraordinarily peaceful even when he runs towards his angry enemy. He always has a smiling lotus face, which is decorated with drops of perspiration and his enthusiasm for fighting. But Balaram's eyes and face are red from anger. It appears to be his nature, manifesting as Krishna's fiery brilliance. So these ladies then speak these four most beautiful verses, which are all in glorification of Krishna's dearest devotees, the gopis in Vrindavan. They say, how pious is the land of Vrindavan. There Krishna walks around barefooted. The breezes serve his body, and even the rain builds little drops to cool him. But he comes out of Vrindavan, goes to our Mathura, and what happens? He gets verbally attacked by the servants of Kamsa. The army comes when he innocently breaks a bow and attacks him. And the most powerful elephant is incited to kill him. And now he's restless. This is too much. And they join by saying, how terrible our town is in comparison to Braj. Then they speak these four verses, which you can read if you want. They are first-class verses in glorification of Vrindavan. They appear in the 44th chapter of the 10th chapter, 10th canto, verse 13 to 16. And one of these verses is very much related to our japa retreat, my dear devotees. The gopis are the most fortunate because they constantly sing about Krishna while milking the cows, threshing grains, churning butter. They sing when they gather the cow dung for fuel. They sing as they swing their babies on those little swings back and forth to make them peaceful. They sing when they sprinkle the ground before their houses with water. And how do they sing? Anurakta, with great attachment to Krishna. They sing with tears of love in their eyes. My dear devotees, the gopis are our teacher in japa and kirtan. One of their students, a little Manjari who appears in Chaitanya Lila as Raghunath Das Goswami, gives us the secret of the gopi japa, or the Gopi Kirtan. Would you like to hear it? Actually, it's your son, it's Mona. You have Mona. Oh, my greedy tongue! Don't you know that the name of Radha is like fresh ambrosia? And the name of Krishna like wonderful thickened milk? Add prema to this and the camphor scent of your attachment and mix them together. Then drink, drink, drink eternally to your heart's content. My dear devotees, in America you have a smoothie. That's a new invention by people who do not know lassi. This is your smoothie. Holy name of Radha, which is like nectar. Holy name of Krishna, which is like wonderful sweet and thickened milk. And then the real ingredient, attachment, anurakta, and then smoothie, and drink this to your heart's content. Don't stop drinking. And then the ladies of Mathura says, every day in the morning, the gopis see Krishna. First they hear him as he passes the house by playing his flute. Then, as they hear Krishna's flute sound, they run out of the houses, leaving all their household duties behind, and look at him. And then in the evening, they again hear all of a sudden Krishna's flute before the houses as he returns with the sunset. So again they run out of the houses, and Krishna looks at them with a merciful, smiling glance. It is said what the gopis do when they run out of their houses to see Krishna. They actually run up the roofs of their houses, the staircases. They have flowers. And then they throw a shower of flower petals over Krishna's body. And in the petals, they have written confidential letters asking Krishna, when will we meet? Where will we meet? And Krishna very quickly reads as the flower petals rain down on him. And quickly he runs up to the gopis, quickly embraces them and whispers in their ears, at the bank of the Yamuna this evening, please come. So the ladies of Mathura did not know this confidential detail with the flower petals, but they knew everything else. And they sang about this and felt it is irreligious that now our Krishna is attacked. Meanwhile, in the Akara, the roped-in area, Chanura began to think, why did I force this boy to fight with me? Why did I make this terrible mistake? Krishna had heard how the gopis sang about him in Vrindavan, and in his heart he felt, my devotees are suffering. I will pick up the speed of the fight now. Let me put a little intensity here. Let me bring this to an end. And at this time, his blows became as hard as thunderbolts. Balaram looked at Krishna and saw the sign. Okay, now let's fight. And he grew even more red in his face. Some people talk to each other. Look at this amazing battle between light and darkness. though Krishna and the restless grapple each other, they do not actually touch because of Krishna's special powers, just as light and darkness do never mix. Jiva Goswami seems to also be there in the ranks, and he, it's a little dramatic now. And he says, this fool Chanura punches Krishna with his iron fist. But when the fist touches Krishna's heart, Krishna's hairs stand up on end in joy. So, I will only describe to you the glorious end of Chanura. Krishna saw Chanura took both of his hands together like this to make a last-ditch effort. He knew he could have surrendered to Krishna and Krishna would have forgiven him, but he was just too proud in his demoniac bhava to do this. So he tried, and as his hands came down, Krishna smiled, took the hands, and began to whirl Chanura around. As Chanura looked at Krishna, he saw the Lord smiling at him. And in the smile of the Lord, he gave up his body and achieved a very high end. Krishna took his lifeless body, threw it out of the akara, and it sailed through the air so that Kamsa could see it. And then fall on the stone slabs. In the assembly, there were thousands of wrestlers who, by the law of wrestling, had to now challenge Krishna. But after they saw what Krishna did to eight other wrestlers, they thought, let us be intelligent. Kamsa will be the next here. We feel it in the atmosphere. And they all ran out of the wrestling match. They were so eager before, but now they showed the bottom of their heels to the people. And everyone, including Krishna, heartily laughed. And they took to the fields. Then the hired musicians began to play very jubilantly. Wonderful, wonderful. And there was so much good music. Krishna decided this is now the time to show our real talents. So he invited his cowherd boys who sat in the wrestling arena for a wrestling match. Some of them were so shy, but Krishna personally went up to the galleries and lovingly took them by the hand to lead them down to the ground. The anchor bells of our Lord sounded so nicely. He danced happily with his friends and relieved the somewhat tense atmosphere. Then they wrestled with the cowherd boys and showed how the gopas defeated them. Yes, my dear devotees, sometimes the Lord was on the ground and the gopas on top. And he would put his hand down. Enough, enough, you have defeated me. Krishna wrestled all together for half an hour with his friends as the music blew on, played jubilantly. And whenever Krishna was defeated by the cowherd boys and lay on his back, Kamsa was troubled in his heart. What is going on? Who is this boy who is so extremely powerful that he has finished Chanura and Balaram has finished Mushtika? And then all the others whom, the eight others whom I sent, they were simply finished and as if he would dance. And now these little boys dressed in gamshas are just defeating the one who has defeated everyone. What is going on? Who is this person? I don't understand. But the music simply increased in joyousness. The brahmanas got up and blessed everyone and shouted, Sadhu Iti, excellent, excellent. There was only one person in the arena who was aggrieved. King Kamsa. Finally, he jumped up, trembling with rage. Stop, he shouted. Musicians, stop. He couldn't stop them. They were so enthusiastic. Stop, I said. Is this the purpose for what you are paid? Why do you celebrate? Are you Krishnadas or are you Kamsadas? But they simply continued playing. Kamsa shouted his orders. Catch these two wicked sons of Vasudev and drive them out of the city. Confiscate the cowherd's property and arrest that fool Nanda. Quickly, quickly, kill that most evil cheat Vasudev and also kill my father Ugrasena along with all his followers. They have sided with our enemies. But Kamsa was only shouting orders. He noted that there was no one listening to him. He waved his hands, a pathetic figure. However, something changed in Krishna's mind. The moment he blasphemed Nanda Maharaj, Vasudev and Ugrasena, Krishna became so angry. It was the first time he had been peaceful. He had smiled. Now he was shaking and he made up his mind. He would now take away the burden of Kamsa. With one jump, Krishna jumped to Kamsa's seat high in the arena. It happened so quickly, no one even noticed. Kamsa, who was practiced in the art of warfare, drew swiftly his sword and to defend himself, slashed the air. Krishna dexterously avoided the deathly blows and like Garuda who seizes a snake, took him with his left hand for dirty things, I hope you know, and pulled him by the hair and threw him down to the wrestling akara. Then he jumped from that high place in one leap to the chest of the king. And as he landed, he meditated. He thought of himself as the shelter of the universe, which was burdened by Kamsa. And from that heavy touch, Krishna, in the mood of the shelter of the universe, from that heavy touch, Kamsa left his body. There are two things to be told, two things which are so beautiful. Vasudev had been brought back by the servants of Kamsa in the prison. Now, after Krishna had cremated Kamsa on the other side of Yamunamai, see, Krishna had taken the body of Kamsa into the boat and had gone to the other side of Yamuna. He had personally performed the last rites. Because no one was left from Kamsa's family. I have spared you the details because you have just finished a japa marathon. But there were many who wanted to take revenge, but Krishna all mercifully liberated them. Now he came back, and although it was a little late, so many things had done, he wanted to find Vasudeva and Devaki. He went into the prison. Lovingly he took away the shackles, and he looked at Vasudeva and Devaki. But they stood there in distance, trembling, praying. Krishna felt highly uncomfortable. He wanted the embrace of his devotees, not their awe and respect. And Krishna, who longs for the embraces and affection of his mother and father, decided to do something which he does to every one of his devotees. He expands his yoga maya to evoke love from them. He said, "Please forgive us for not serving you." A son who, though able to do so and able in body, fails to provide for his parents with his physical resources and wealth, is forced after his death to eat his own flesh, and I could not serve you. When he said this, he broke through the Aishwarya mood. Vasudeva and Devaki were bound with the robe of his affection. They showered the lords, also Balaram was there, with a rainfall of tears, took them upon their laps and embraced them. They cried for long, but after some time they again thought, "This is God." Krishna went to the outskirts of Mathura, where his father Nanda Maharaj was waiting. Nanda Maharaj said, "O Shishu, I have heard disturbing news. People say you are the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. Do you also think that?" Krishna said, "No, father. Those are the real parents who rear the children with love and affection. You and Yashoda are our real mother, father and mother." "Okay," said Nanda Maharaj, "then come now. Come to Vrindavan." Krishna had feared this loving words, like he had not feared Kamsa, not Shanura, nothing. "Father, it's not so easy. My clan, the Vrishnis, now have not one enemy, Kamsa. They have many, many, many enemies, the friends of Kamsa, who will all come to take revenge. By taking Kamsa out of his body, the problem has increased. I will stay a little bit longer, take care of all these enemies who come, and then I come to Vrindavan." Then he said, "Now you should all return to Braj, dear father. We shall come to see you. Our dear relatives who suffer in separation from us, we need to give them a little happiness But after this, we will come to see you. And here, Father, Krishna took some parchment, it's paper. He took a pen. I give you a letter to Yashoda, my mother. And he wrote with his own hand a beautiful letter, a letter which saved Yashoda's life when Nanda Maharaj came without Krishna back to Vrindavan. I will read the letter to you a little while. Now we are emotionally a little bit, it's too intense. The letter will come in a moment. No, we can say it now. Nanda Maharaj returned dejected. The Brijbasis were all on a hill and they watched that colon, is it? It's like a caravan of ox carts coming from Mathura. First they were joyous. Krishna comes back. But then as they looked, they saw Nanda Maharaj was dejected. Finally, Nanda Maharaj's cart arrived. He saw all his residents with empty eyes, which were washed out with tears. And he went, without saying a word, into his house to take rest. Yashoda was there. And someone gave her the letter. She couldn't read because she was crying so hard, because she knew Krishna had stayed in Mathura. But when she read this letter, written in the hand of her son, she took courage. Krishna wrote what a mother wants to hear, that is, how the son likes the food which she cooks. On the first day, mother, when I was in Mathura, there was rice with milk. On the second day, you served me roti with ghee. On the next day, there were sweets soaked in sweet milk. And on other days, there were other various foods. Oh, mother, you, my mother, you fed me all these foods in the large room. Do not think this was a dream or a temporary appearance. Understand that it was and is factual. My dear devotees, in case you don't understand these enigmatic words, Krishna had come in another form to Mathura, to Vrindavan, and eaten the food which Yashoda had lovingly cooked for him. How did he do this? Well, Jiva Goswami explains that when a person is absorbed in something, he participates in that reality. For instance, if you sit down and write a letter to someone who's very dear to you, you see that person as you write the letter, and you are absorbed in what you share. And in this way, something of you, which is very valuable, that is your whole concentration, wanders to the person and manifests there. So Krishna, this is very important for us to understand as his devotees, is absorbed in his devotees. And one form, Prabhupada calls it Krishna's bhava form, his ecstasy form. This form goes and is with his devotees. Therefore, my dear devotees, when you are actually chanting Krishna's name in the feelings of longing, Krishna, as we have heard this morning, feels this person is mine. And he comes. He comes in his bhava form and sits there where you can receive him, that is in your bhava, that is deep emotion in your heart. It's a heart-to-heart relationship which happens from your side when you long for Krishna in the feeling of Vipralamba Bhava, and which is met by Krishna when he sees you and becomes absorbed in your case and becomes present in your Vipralamba Bhava, where? In the core of your heart. This is the mystery of Krishna consciousness. It's called the Bhavanamrita, the nectar of the bhava, the nectar of the Krishna consciousness, the Krishna bhava, which attracts Krishna to come in his bhava form and be in your heart. So in other words, Krishna had said that he would appear in a spurti to his mother and also his friends. But what to do with the cows? Krishna and Mathura had said, the cows operate mainly by smell and by sound. So Stoka Krishna, here take my cloth, which are laden with my fragrance, and here take my flute and play the flute. Subal, take the dress of my Balaram, take the blue cloth and take his horn. Then you should go to the cows and other fortunate animals and trees of the forest, and you should blow the flute, you should wave the cloth so that the fragrance goes everywhere. Thus everyone in Vrindavan will be in association with me.
Krishna.
take it now. Krishna, Krishna.
Addressed. My dear devotees, what was Radha's situation? Radha began asking the trees about Krishna and eagerly watched the path to Mathura by which he would arrive. Hadn't he promised that I will return? Hadn't he sent a messenger to her? I will return. She wept uncontrollably, danced, lost consciousness, identified her own body with his body. Her mind was totally with Krishna in Mathura. When she saw a crow flying from the east where Mathura was lying, she stopped her and asked her, "Crow, tell me news from Krishna." Subal, Krishna's dear friend, had a letter for Radha and her gopi friends. But when he came to them to deliver the letter, they couldn't read it because of the tears blinding their eyes. So Subal read the letter of Krishna to his most confidential devotees. My dear devotees, listen with rapt attention. Yes. Yes, I gave you up and went to Mathura. Although I knew that your life heirs would follow me, I have nothing to say in my defense. I know your incomparable love breaks all conventions, and I know about the greatness of your love. It makes me ashamed. It makes me hide this body because I personally lack such a love. But I beg you, hear what I have to say. And believe me, I'm never ever far away from you. Subal asked the gopis, "Krishna wants a reply from you. What is your message to him? We will send a messenger. The gopis cried so much when they heard what they knew in their hearts to be true. I'm never ever far away from you. With tears in their love, they couldn't, with tears in their eyes, they just couldn't respond. But they managed to complete a letter. How, my dear devotees? By the strong power of their love, their writing was able to come. O beloved, you have said that you will come and meet us often in your spurti. Spurti is like an appearance, huh? Though this is true, the separation from you still agitates our heart. Krishna, we have heard that in Mathura there are doctors who are as expert as Dhanvantari. Please go to these doctors and inquire from them about a recipe for us which counteracts madness, epilepsy, and death. This medicine we need despite all your clever words. Krishna can never forget his devotees. Vasudev and Devaki saw that their son was not happy in Mathura. They saw that Krishna was always thinking about the devotees in Vrindavan. And they sent him away, far away from Vrindavan, so that he would not slip back. They sent him to Ujjain, Avantipur, where the great teacher Sandipani Muni lived, because their sons never had the chance to take an education. When they were infants, they had been carried to a village of cowherders. Every night, Krishna and Balaram would meet in the Gurukul. And when the light was out, they would sit on their beds. Krishna would say, I'm always remembering my father, my mother, my friends. My heart burns. Balaram, with tears in his eyes, tried to console him. Oh, brother, I wish to give up everything and simply go there. But we have to protect our people here. I know how you feel. But please show some restraint and conceal these feelings. When you remember the Brajavasis, you can actually see them without going there. Just remember. Think about them. Oh, it's true, it's so true, answered Krishna. When I see them, as if in dream, in other words, if I think about them, I experience their presence. See, this is the bhava, the Krishna conscious bhava, which brings the Lord together with his devotees. But still, because the love is so big, Krishna went to Balaram. The two brothers embraced each other with tears in their eyes, thinking of Vrindavan, and fell asleep each night in the Gurukul. When Krishna awoke in the Gurukul, he immediately remembered his sweet dreams. Oh, he said to Balaram, I saw the Rasa dance in a dream, but wait. This was not a dream. All my limbs are fragrant with the gopis' perfume. My brahmachari life is finished.
He was a brahmachari, no? Learning.
Really, this was not intentional. Therefore, I'm not at fault. No. I think I met them. And in this way, they were delivered from the fire of separation. Actually, serving these gopis who are my life is not at all contrary to the principles of brahmachari life. Durvasa, who has revealed the Gopal Tapani Upanishad, has said this when he said, Krishna will be with you, dear gopis, like a husband. So, my dear devotees, what I want to illustrate with all of this is a fact which a devotee on Japa level 3 has to understand at least theoretically. In Krishna consciousness, there are two emotions. I'm speaking of the highest state of the gopis, huh? And of the gopas. Meeting and separation. This river, these are like two banks on a river. Sometimes the river of Krishna's pastime touches the bank of union. Sometimes it touches the bank of separation. When the devotees feel separated from Krishna externally, they meet him through strong feelings of separation right in the core of their heart. Krishna feels very indebted to the devotees in whose heart there is separation. He feels they have understood what is Krishna Bhavanamrita, what is the nectar of Krishna consciousness. In this world, my dear devotees, we practice this, thinking of Krishna while we long for him as we chant Hare Krishna. And as Krishna notices this longing, he feels in his heart so much love, so much affection, that he becomes indebted and sold out to the devotees. So whenever you feel things are not going well in my japa, I feel so dry and so tired, go through this. Understand, yes, I'm not yet very advanced, but I will continue. I will chant to Krishna, feeling his separation. Then everything is solved and Krishna will appear in your heart. So we will only sing a little bit and then we will conclude something. Hari Prasad. Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare Radhe Jai Shri Radhe Hari Bol Oh Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Together now, please chant from your heart all together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Something very serious is left to be done. That is the signal when we break our moon vrata. And Archana City has ordered me 2 days back that I should give the signal, so I will do it in my best way.
Very serious. Don't laugh. Hare Krishna.
then.
So very ceremonial. So yes, you had you did wonderful as chanters. You did wonderful in your Mona Vrata, and only a few of you cheated a little bit, but only a very tiny little bit, not even so much as to be taken serious cheating. It was, you did excellent, really. And I'm very, very satisfied that you have become so absorbed in your chanting. My strong recommendation before I give the microphone to Archana Siddhi, that is, kindly take this experience with you to your 16 rounds. You will see tomorrow when you chant your 16 rounds, it will go very easy. It will go very smooth because you have now built up some Nam Kripa, which is behind you and which will move your little boat forward with the winds of mercy. So please don't slacken. You may not chant the numbers which you have done yesterday and today. For sure it will not be possible because there will be presentations and other important work to be done. I know that tomorrow we will unwrap our realizations in a process which will be guided by our two facilitators. But here I only want to say, please immediately tomorrow try to get in your chanting. I even recommend that you chant your rounds early. Don't go to bed too late. I know now it's a little, everything will be easy and so on and so forth. You have now really made your japa retreat. You've gone through it. The main thing is done. Now we will just tie everything together and bring the loose ends together. But please take this with you in your practice of chanting daily. That's very important. Here's also, we should now lovingly greet our Giriraj Maharaj. We were all praying that good health energy comes in your direction, and we understood that your tour was extremely wide. You were in India and everywhere else in the world almost, and we were really, the devotees were very, very much thinking in you in separation, but it's better to see you. Hare Krishna. So here's Archana Siddhi.